Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
I've entitled this morning's message, The Right Position. If you could follow along in your Bibles, it would be helpful. I'm going to read a passage of Scripture from the 5th chapter of Mark. Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, that means she had a menstrual disease. She had a continual flowing. And she had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she'd heard of Jesus, came in the press or the crowd behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway, immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she had been healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. The right physician. Have you ever gone to a physician and he could not find out what was wrong with you? Perhaps you've gone to many physicians, and all of them had different theories as to what was wrong with you, but they were not able to find out what was wrong with you and give you a cure for whatever it is that's wrong with you. Now, this woman that we read about under the law was unclean. If you read Leviticus chapter 15, verse 25, because she had this menstrual disease, she was considered unclean, and anything she touched was unclean, and she really had no right under the Mosaic law to come and touch the Lord Jesus Christ, or anybody else for that matter. You see, anything she touched would be considered unclean because of her ceremonial uncleanness that was used to describe her by the law. Now, she had a menstrual disease. This woman had a continual issue, her body casting off that which has no life. And under the law, she was unclean, separated, not allowed to participate in public worship, and anything she touched was unclean. And she'd had this disease for 12 long years, and she was so anemic and weak and emaciated by this disease. And she was also a social outcast. She was not allowed to go out in public according to the law because of this disease that she had. And she had become impoverished by going to so many different physicians, none of which did her any good. They were all quacks, physicians of no value. All they removed from her was her money. And this typifies the sinner going to religion to be healed. All of these physicians were physicians of no value. That reminds me of the average preacher. People going to try to find some kind of healing for themselves. She went to Dr. Free Will. And he said, well, all you've got to do is decide to be healed. If you are willing to be healed, you will be healed. It's up to an act of your will. And since when do you just will to be healed? She went to Dr. Keep the Law. All you have to do is keep the law and you'll be healed. But she couldn't. She went to Dr. B. Orthodox and his assistant, Dr. Reformed. And they told her, you need to believe the right things and get your doctrine straight and then everything will be okay. She went to Dr. Quit Sinning, who just said, all you need to do is stop sinning and everything will be okay. Well, she couldn't stop sinning. She went to Dr. B. Baptized. He said, if you're baptized, you'll be cleansed and saved. He didn't do anything for her either. She went to Dr. Speak in Tongues and Dr. Miracle Workers, and it was all just that, talk. It did her no good. And all of these doctors she went to had two things in common. Number one, you had to do what they said before you could be healed. In other words, the burden of healing was up to you. If you didn't do this certain thing that they gave you to do, you would not be healed. The burden of healing lay ultimately in your hand. And that's really the message I hear preached in our day. Preachers of no value who do not tell the truth say God loves you, Christ died for you, wants to save you, but it's up to you as to whether or not you will be saved. Salvation is in your hands, not in God's hands. That's somebody who is not telling the truth. That's a physician of no value who can do you no good at all. And the second thing that I would say about these physicians she went to, they were all quacks. They had no healing in their medicine at all. And oh, the suffering this woman experienced under their hand. Verse 26, she had suffered many things of many physicians. All the wild things she did in obedience to what they said, trying to get healed. She suffered many things of many physicians and spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Oh, the suffering, the emotional turmoil she experienced, and she did not get better, but rather she grew worse. And she was left with nothing. She spent all, and she was bankrupt. You know, this reminds me, I want you to listen to this statement. Religion is an evil thing. I want to repeat that. Religion is an evil thing. Man's religion. It does no good at all. All it does is destroy. Religion is an evil thing. This woman went to all these physicians, and she only grew worse. But verse 27, the best thing to ever happen to her, when she had heard of Jesus. Now, perhaps she'd heard of him before, but she was still dealing with her doctors. But now that she's spent all she had, and all other hopes are gone, all other avenues are gone, now she hears of Jesus. She hears of that one who healed the sick, who raised the dead, who controlled the weather, who cast out demons, who did only what God can do. That's the Jesus she heard of. She didn't hear of a false Jesus that is so often preached in our day. She heard of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Bible. She heard of Him, and that was the best day she ever had. Now, look what it says in verse 27. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press, in the crowd, behind. She didn't feel the confidence to come in front of Him. She thought maybe He would cast her away because she knew she was unclean. She knew, as far as the law goes, she had no right to come into His presence. But she had to have Him. And we know exactly what she believed because it says in verse 28, where she said, if I may but touch His clothes, I shall be whole. I shall be cleansed. She had such a high view of the Lord Jesus Christ. She knew, if I can come into contact with Him, I will be made whole. Now, I know this. If somehow I can come into contact with the Lord Jesus Christ, if somehow He died for me, if somehow He does something for me, I know I must be healed. I know it's a necessity for me to be healed. So I guess she was on her hands and knees, because the other two accounts in the Gospels of this story says she said, if I could but touch the hem of His garment, the border of His garment down on the ground. So I suppose she came on her hands and knees through this crowd around the Lord Jesus Christ in order to touch Him. And let me remind you, under the law, she had no right to do this. The unclean were not allowed to come into contact with people. Under the law, it was wrong for her to touch Christ. So she came behind, afraid to come in any other direction, and reached out and touched the border of His garment. And look what happened. Verse 29. And straightway, immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up. This wasn't a gradual healing. It took place immediately, just like that. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She knew she had been healed. Now, I think it's interesting that there were a whole lot of people, the Scripture says, that were touching the Lord Jesus Christ at that time. Because the disciples, when He said, "Who touched Me?" they said, Master, the crowds are thronging Thee. Everybody's touching and pressing You, and everybody's coming into contact with You. How is it that You ask this question? Many people touched Him that nothing was done for them. But when this one woman who was unclean touched Him, something happened. You see, the only people He does anything for are the unclean, are for sinners, are for people who cannot help themselves. And the only hope they have is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they know that. All other hopes have been taken away. And they see that Christ Jesus is their only hope. But immediately she felt that she was healed of that plague. And verse 30 says, and Jesus immediately, knowing in Himself that virtue, saving power, powerful virtue, had gone out of Him. It left Him and it went somewhere else. Just like this woman's disease left her and went somewhere else. And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press, the people pressing against Him, the crowd, and said, "Who touched My clothes?" And His disciples said unto Him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched Me?" Now, virtue went out of the Lord Jesus Christ. Saving power, virtue, healing power went out of the Lord Jesus Christ at that time. He felt it leave Him. He said, virtue has, He turned Him in the presence and said, "Who touched My clothes?" His disciples said, "Thou seest the multitude thronging Him, sayest thou, Who touched Me?" And He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. You see, He perceived that virtue had gone out of Him. Now, this woman, she had this disease. Now, I'd like to read you a passage of Scripture from Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 16. And I hope this will help us to understand what was taking place. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. And when the even was come, they brought unto Him many that were possessed with devils. And He cast out the spirits with His word, and He healed all that were sick. I would like to see some of these phony faith healers do something like this. Why don't they go into hospitals and truly heal people? The Lord healed all that were sick. And verse 17 says, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now, he's quoting Isaiah 53, where Isaiah tells us he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. He's talking about the great substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ, where the sins of God's elect were charged to him and became his, and he became guilty of them, and that's why he was wounded, because he was guilty of those sins. The sins of his people, the sins of all who believe, became his sin. That's why he died on the cross. Now, in this passage of Scripture I just read, it says he took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. It doesn't say sins here. It's talking about sickness. And here's the point behind this. A lot of folks, when they think of the death of Christ, they think, well, our sins were charged to his account. More than that. I don't understand this. I just believe it. But sickness cannot be charged to someone's account. Disease cannot be charged to someone's account. Somehow the sins of God's people left them and actually came into his body. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Her sickness, her sin, it left her and came to him. And his saving power and his saving virtue left him and came into her. And she felt immediately that she would have been healed of her plague. You see, that's the way salvation works. It happens immediately. You're healed. You're healed. Your sin is taken away. That's what the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ did. When God saves you, you're made to understand that all your salvation was accomplished by your contact with Him. His saving righteousness comes to you, and your sin came to Him. The great, glorious doctrine of substitution, the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ. She felt immediately that she had been whole of her plague. And in verse 32, when he looked round about to see her that had done this thing, we read in verse 33, with the woman fearing and trembling. Now, this was not the fear of unbelief. This was that fear of the Lord, because she saw for sure who Christ really was. And she came fearing and trembling, the Scripture says, knowing what was done in her. She came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Now let's consider what this verse says. It says, she knowing what was done. Now there are two views of salvation. One is represented by the word do, and the other is represented by the word done. Do and done. And these two views are mutually exclusive. One is right, the other is wrong. One gives life, the other ends in death. Summarized by the words do and done. Now, I have not seen the gospel until I see what was done. Knowing what was done. What was done? What did the Lord Jesus Christ actually accomplish? Do you remember his last words from the cross? It is finished. Not it's left undone. It is finished. Matthew 1:21 says, Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And that is exactly what he did. When he said, it is finished, salvation was done. My salvation was accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ without any reference to anything I ever do. It's done. It's done.
As a matter of fact, Revelation 21, 5 and 6, the Lord says, it's done. He said, behold, I make all things new. It's done. All things have been made new. Now, here's what I need for me to be saved. I need a new history. Not just a new clean slate and a new chance. No, a new history where all my history is nothing but that which is perfect. And that's exactly what Christ Jesus accomplished for me on the cross. It is done. Not go and do. Not do something. When have you done enough? No, nothing. They which believe have entered into a rest. It is done. She knowing what was done in her. Salvation is what God does for you, but it's also what He does in you. It's not enough for me to have Christ revealed to me. I need to have Him revealed in me. Paul said, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me. He said in Galatians 2:20, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. She knew what was done in her. Salvation's a work on the inside. When God gives you a new heart, then you believe, then you repent, then you love. Now what did she do? Verse 33, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before Him in worship. That's what you do when you worship. You fall down at His feet. And she told Him all the truth. She told Him all the truth. Now, has the Lord done something for you? You tell Him all the truth. Tell Him the truth about your disease. Don't try to hide it. Don't try to hide your sin and gloss over it. Confess it before Him. Tell Him all the truth. Tell Him of the suffering that you brought on yourself because of your sin. Tell Him all the truth. Tell Him of your futile attempts to have your sin cured and nothing has worked. Tell Him all your fears and your doubts and your incessant unbelief and the wickedness of your heart. Tell Him all the truth. Tell Him all the truth as to how He is the only hope that you have and that you cannot be saved if He doesn't do something for you. Tell Him all the truth. I love that scripture in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins. That doesn't mean confess them to men. We confess them to God. If we confess our sins, if we tell Him all the truth, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, something that all of God's people have in common, they tell all the truth. They all love the truth. You know, Paul warned us in 2 Thessalonians 2:10 of those who receive not the love of the truth. God's people love the truth. I love the truth regarding the true character of God, who He is, how He reveals Himself in His Word. I love all of His attributes. We love the truth concerning ourselves. I want to know the truth about myself. That I'm nothing but sin and that my only hope is Christ. I need to know the truth. I need to know the truth of how God saves by His grace. How God saves by the blood of Christ. How God saves by an act of His free and sovereign will. Love the truth. All of God's people love the truth and they love all the truth. If all you have is a half a truth, you have a lie. No, she told Him all the truth. Verse 34. And He said unto her, daughter, you're my child. She's a child of the truth. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, there's no salvation apart from faith. And we know exactly what her faith was. She said, if I can just touch His clothes, if I can come into contact with Him, I'll be made whole. She believed that with all her heart. She believed that He was salvation. Now, I'm asking you. I'm not asking you if you believe you're saved. I'm not asking you if you know you'll go to heaven when you die. I'm asking you this. Do you believe that if somehow you come into contact with Him, you must be made whole? That's what faith is. Faith has to do with Christ. Faith in believing you're saved. It's believing that He is salvation. Now, if you believe He is salvation, you'll believe you're saved. But that's assurance. That's not faith. He said, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Now, He said, "Go in peace." Now, this woman had been in wretchedness for 12 years. Constant turmoil, wondering what was going to happen to her. But now He says, "Go in peace." Now, the only way I can have peace, true peace, is if all my sin is gone. Any other kind of peace is a false peace. It's putting a band-aid over a gaping wound. No, the only true peace I can have is if my sin is actually taken away. If God has actually justified me and made me not guilty before His sight, that's the only way I can have peace. The only way I can have peace is if I'm in Christ. The Lord said in John 6:31, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." In the world you'll have tribulation and trial, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The only way I can have peace is if He tells me, "Go in peace." It won't do me any good for you to tell me to have peace. The only way I can truly have peace is if He speaks peace to my conscience through His work on the cross. Therefore, having been justified, being justified, by faith we have peace with God. Now here is true peace, knowing that all God requires of me, I have, and that I stand before God without guilt because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in my behalf. Having been justified, He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified, by faith we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Go in peace. And the last thing He said to her was, "Be whole of thy plague." You know, she was already whole of her plague. He'd already healed her. And yet He said to her again, "Be whole of thy plague. Go in peace. Be whole of thy plague." She needed to hear Him say it again. This has something to do with needing to hear the preaching of the gospel over and over again. I need to hear this same message from Him. Go in peace. Be whole.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.